Okay, everybody, we'll make this quick because it is a bit early, probably in the start of your course, to do this. The first time I did this, it was half an hour, and everyone looked like they'd lost the will to live. So, the 10 minutes I'm going to do are important, very important. I talked briefly about research and information governance at the clinical school, and there are harsher rules at the clinical school than maybe there are in School of Biological Sciences, particularly on data. So if you take nothing else in, take the tissue and the data bits in. They are important. I'm going to give you a few pointers of areas you should look at if you're doing research with humans or human tissue or data. And this research policy framework governs all of research in the clinical school. I say it like that because technically, it's about patient research, but we say all research is governed by this policy. So I would suggest you have a look at it because it sets out the kind of things that you'll need to consider if you're doing any work with patients, human participants, full stop. The legal considerations are Human Tissue Act, the Data Protection Act, Mental Capacity Act, and if you may not be doing this, but EU clinical trials regulations and medical device regulations. So those are the acts and the law things that you need to consider when you're undertaking research. The Human Tissue Act, that regulates removal, storage, and use of human tissue. And bear in mind that tissue is anything that contains a cell. Blood, urine, saliva. It's not just bits of tissue as we kind of envisage them. A lot of people get that wrong. It's anything that contains a cell. You do need consent. And importantly, if you're holding human tissue, it must be stored in the appropriate place. So, somewhere that's under a human tissue license, or there is an exemption of a certain type of ethics approval. Bear in mind, just because you may be based in the hospital does not mean you're under a license. So it's mainly CRUK, CI, CIMA, part of public health and primary care, but medicine is not, nor is neurosciences, so, or psychiatry, so do bear that in mind. Mental Capacity Act supports people unable to make decisions at a point in time. So it's mental health issues, emergency medicine. You know, if you're unconscious, you can't make a decision, so someone else had to do it for you. Or in intensive care units, again, not what you might necessarily associate with the Mental Capacity Act, but it does need to be considered. Data Protection Act. We love data at the clinical school, and it's becoming an enormous part of research up here. The important thing is to have consent and where you store it. If it's anonymous data, i.e., there's no identifiers, there's not really an issue where you store it, but there is otherwise. And what is data? It's not just electronic data, it's paper files, it's imaging if you're working in the WBIC or radiology. That all counts as data. And when you're using data or collecting data for research, you need to think about the consent and how you want to use that data in the future. Because otherwise, you have a lot of hassle. It gets me annoyed. The contracts managers get in a mess. Do you want to share the data with other researchers in the UK, overseas, in the commercial sector? From a transparency perspective, you should make sure that your participants are aware of how you might share the data, even if it's anonymous. It's all about transparency. What do your participants expect to happen to your data? And you can put it as wide as possible. That's not the issue. If you just say, I'm going to keep your data in the Department of Medicine and it's going nowhere else, you'll have problems if you want to share it. So bear that in mind. Storage of data, all identifiable data in the clinical school, or if you work in the clinical school, must be stored in the clinical school's secure data storage area. Or there's several other areas with equivalent security. There is no debate about this. There is The main clinical school secure area, there's WIBIC has got some, the MRC EPI has got some, but most other areas don't. So you have to either use an NHS trust computer or storage area or the clinical school safe haven. Never take identifiable data home or place on personal laptops. They must be, and I'm really going to stress this because people make mistakes, but it causes a lot of problems, and it's a very strict policy throughout the whole clinical school. It doesn't matter if they're patients or just healthy volunteers, the same rules apply. What is identifiable data? Names and addresses, obviously, date of birth, postcode, NHS number counts as identifiable data. And any data that allows the researcher to identify the participant. So if you're doing a massive data set, about, I don't know, 30, 40, 100 pieces of data, which are all de-identified on one person, you can understand that it might be possible to re-identify them. So bear that in mind, just because you're putting a lot of pieces of anonymous data together, you may actually, it may be possible for some people to re-identify. If something does go wrong, it does occasionally, ironically, not usually with electronic data, it tends more to be with paper files, get put down somewhere. You must report the breach to your head of department and my office as soon as possible. And if the patient data involves a trust, maybe CUH, their R&D office needs to be informed. Please do inform us. Yeah, it will get crap from us, but nothing what you'll get if the first we know about it's in the Cambridge Evening News. We can try and sort it. The sooner we know about it, the sooner we can sort it. And there's a data protection person in town, James Napton, who's the most pragmatic, nicest person I've ever met. And he will really, between us, we will help sort this out. So please let us know as soon as possible. The other thing I ask you to take away is the need for research contracts. Participating site agreements, that's, you know, if you've got if a collaboration, there's lots of sites. But material transfer agreements and data transfer agreements, if any tissue or data is coming into your department, to your area, or going out of your area to another institution, you must have a data transfer or material transfer agreement in place. This protects you because it means if a data goes, I don't know, not quite your mate at Glasgow or something, but you might have a perfectly good reason to send there, but it sets out what that person can do with your data. Who owns the data? This is your data. Remember, the data and tissue analysis you do is very important. It's important to a lot of people, not just to your study. And I even senior professors, I say, we need to send it out. So why? What do you want to happen to that data? You've collected it, it's incredibly valuable, and other people want it because they haven't got it. You do need to have these transfer agreements in place, both coming in and out. So if you get tissue in, or you want to bring tissue in, you need to speak to the research office and they will put the contract in place for you. Those are the useful research governance web links. It's a very short presentation, but just as soon as you, when you start knowing what you want to do, your research project is, if it involves tissue, data, humans, in any shape, sense or form, please come and see us and we can help you. There's three of us in my office. Myself, Victoria, who does data, and Jane, who does all the international things. And I give you the address for the Adam Brooks R&D office. But do come and see us and we will help you whenever we can, whenever you're ready. So I'll stop there, so it's not too painful.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Carolyn?
No, you don't need a license for yourself. With animal, you need animal licenses to work with animals, but for humans, the license is about the storing of it. So the facility requires a license. So depending what department in, a lot of, if you're in pathology or somewhere like that, they'll be under the university license. But no, you don't need your own license. You just need to make sure it's stored in a licensed facility.
Any other questions? Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Karen.
You're welcome.
Now, we're juggling the programme around. I don't suppose Graham or Gina are there, are they yet? Graham is. Brilliant. Good. Thank you so much. And you're speaking into the microphone because we've got some people online, okay?
Great. Thank you very much.